Cloud. Okay. All right. I'll stop my screen share. Good. So who has questions, comments, want to have a discussion about some of this stuff? Anybody? You good? Feel like you can go do some of this? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
And keep that checklist. I would print out the checklist. We'll post the slides to it, but if you jotted them down, just keep that checklist handy. And after you've written something, make sure that at least the collection covers all of this, right? So if you're writing an email and then it goes to an opt-in page, between the two, you make sure you cover all these things. Like the each of them should have the hook and the emotional, right? But you may not go through all six of these in the email, right? You want to get them to your opt-in page, but the opt-in page should take them through all of that. Same thing with the sales page. In a sales page, there's actually a lot more sections that we do because we want to, there's bonuses and there's the actual description of the product and a guarantee so people don't feel like, what am I going to do here? And that sort of thing. So there's a little bit more to a sales page, but if you get the basic components, it's easy enough to fill those other things in. And it takes practice. It takes lots of practice. So don't be hard on yourselves if you're like, oh, my writing sucks. I can't get this. And for me, the hook's the hardest part. Some people are just really good at creating hooks. For me, the hook is the hardest part. And once I have that hook, then I can do the emotional part. I can do that easily. I can certainly do the educational part. But that hook, like, how do you get them to give you the click? How do you get them to say, I want this? And sometimes, like I said, curiosity, like writing my grandchild's obituary, what does that mean? Another one is like really urgency of that pain. Like, oh my God, that's me. Oh my God, that's me. I need that. Yeah. Or a quirky thing sometimes, like you may say something that's the opposite of what you believe. I wrote one that got a lot of opens. It was like, the ideal amount of sugar is 6-7 teaspoons a day or 9 teaspoons a day. And like, what? 9 teaspoons a day sugar? And then I went in and I talked about how that most people ate 22, but the American Heart Association was saying that they shouldn't be eating more than 9. I'm like, really? 9? 9 teaspoons of sugar a day? Do you know what that does to you? Blah, 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 blah. Click here to download my video. Right? That got their curiosity. One of them that I think it was the best opened email ever. It was like something related to my son. No, that one, there was two of them. One was, I ate a candy bar today. Now that got the people who know me to open it because it's like, she ate a candy bar? Oh my God, what happened? What caused that? And a lot of people opened that. But the other one was related to my son and he was like in seventh grade and it was some like, like powerful thing about my son, you know, that he did something or, oh my God, I was in horror with what my kid did or I can't even remember. I'd have to go look it up. But it was about how he was gluten intolerant and he was caught at school and the teachers kept calling me up and saying, why is Kevin getting so, he's like, he can't sit still. He's not turning in his homework. What's going on with him? And I'm like, he's getting into gluten. Somebody needs to follow, you know, watch him at school and watch what he's eating. He's sharing lunch because we set it up so he couldn't get into it. And sure enough, they found him coming out of the cafeteria with the gluten and ice cream and pizza and ice cream. And yeah, so I wrote that and that got a lot of attention. It hooked people in. Now you have to know your audience to know what's going to hook them in. If it's a cold audience, who cares about my son? If it's a cold audience, they're not going to open that. What? So she ate a candy bar today. Who cares, right? But my warm audience, they know me. They've been there a while. They're going to get it. But you run the risk of if the list is growing on a regular basis, if I'm in a lot of summits and people are getting on my list, they don't know me well enough to know. Well, they probably do if they heard me speak on a summit. So yeah. But if I'm sending Facebook traffic, I'm not going to say I ate a candy bar today. They're like, so you and, you know, how many millions of other people ate a candy bar today? Who cares, right? Yeah. But that obituary one we get, that would get Facebook clicks big time. Big time. Now, Facebook might not let it happen. That Facebook is really picky about that. We had one that was the modern plague and after running it for 3 weeks, they shut it down. As we had a picture of blood cells on the thing and talked about the modern plague. So, questions? Comments? Something you want help with? Oh, I see some stuff in the chat. Let's see. What? Oh, Michelle? What?
Sorry, that was just me, Rita Marie.
Oh, that's Michelle, like Chris Michelle.
So Lynn and I were messing around. But I was just typing in, I've been doing a bit of Facebook marketing training, and Facebook really doesn't like anything that makes its people feel negative. So you can't draw people in because of them feeling anxious or depressed. You can't mention depression. You can't mention anything like that.
You can't say belly fat. You can't say that.
Yeah, it's mad.
They don't want people to feel bad about themselves. So you've got to get them with a hook that's different from making them feel like there's something wrong with them. And that's a little more challenging. It's a little more challenging. Now, when you get to the page, I think you have more forgiveness. Although I heard, and we ended up changing a lot of our landing pages because we heard that they check, you know, if they either go to the page and you're talking about the modern play, they're still going to shut you down, even though you didn't do it in the ad itself. So we changed that language around. But it did get a lot of hits. But what we changed it to did too. We had 45,000 opt-ins for that. So go figure, right? People were interested. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And last year we got 30,000. So people are interested for sure, right? If you get the right audience in front of what you're doing, you're going to get the interest, right? And I started out with 600 people who are mostly... They were mostly my kids' friends' parents that I'd collected and people I'd met at various conferences over the years and colleagues of mine from school. And I just didn't know better back then. And I plopped everybody's name into constant contact and started sending them emails. That was my list back in 2007, 6 and 7. Yeah, 600 people. I remember the day when it hit 1,000. And it was only because I had been interviewed by Kevin Gianni on his radio show, and I offered a free opt-in, and it was a really nerdy free opt-in. It was called Get Green something or other. It was a green food bundle, and it wasn't anything exciting, let me tell you, but he got several hundred people to sign up on my list, and I was like, whoa, my list is growing. Yay. It's a great way to do it, right? But that was back in the day when there wasn't a lot of noise on the internet. Right. So anything you offered people, they would get. Now there's so much, you've got to stand out. Yeah, Mahala.
Do you think going on radio shows is valuable?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, do you mean local radio shows? Yeah, I think so. I think people respond to that, especially if it's a respected one. Like we have People's Pharmacy here. They do a radio show, and I've been on that a couple of times. And people, you know, because there's the authority of the pharmacy endorsing you, right? Yeah. That gives you credibility. And then you always want to have a really good call to action. Right. Yeah. Whether it's just, you know, you talk about these herbs and you go down here, you want my book, you know, download my book. Okay. After your talk, and then you get people to do that. Yeah. Okay. And then podcasts are another thing. So, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there that are looking for guests. And if you can make a case for what you have that's unique and different, they want guests, right? So there's a number of them. Just look up hormones in iTunes, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Look up baby boomers, right? It may not be anything related to health, Janet, but it's people who are educated and they're trying to do better. Some of the financial, you know, when they're doing the finances for baby boomers, right? To get, that's a good place to go because you know they have some disposable income and they're educated. So, and a percentage of them are going to go, whoa, I didn't know that. I had no idea about that. That's a great thing. Let me go get her little freebie, whatever. Right? So you just find those podcasts and I would make an effort to, or make a thing to make that list. Just go out there, do some research. Maybe spend an hour or two doing the research and making your list. And then, you know, spend a half an hour a week contacting these people. You can make a nice blanket email that covers a lot of these points, right? Cause you want to sell them on you, right? Oh, I noticed that you have a show on whatever, and those people in that, what my experience is as a pharmacist, a naturopathic pharmacist, is that people in that niche actually have these other problems as well. Blah, 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 blah. I'd love the opportunity to have a conversation with you and talk about whether it would be a good fit to be on your podcast. Right. And then you go and you be on their podcast, right? And you make offers and your name gets out there. And for me, I've been, you know, I have to be a little more selective now because I have so little time and so many requests. But at first I would take any podcast offer, any summit offer and just get out there. Cause what I wanted to do, you want to create the, oh, I've seen you before. I know you because they've seen you all over the place. Right. You just want them to see you all over the place. I talked to a guy. I'm going to be doing a talk in London while I'm there next week. And I'm going to see Allison. Yay. And I talked to this guy and he was saying, I was saying, well, how many people are going to show up? How many people usually show up? They do this monthly meeting and they get speakers in. He goes, well, when we have our own people speak, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20. But he said, when we bring in outside experts like yourself who are well known and like you and Tom O'Brien, you know, we get 50, 60 people in there. I'm like, oh, and I'm like, well known? I'm well known in England, right? I said, well, I'm real curious. You said, well known. Do people like recognize? He goes, well, you know, not the average general public on the street, of course, because he says, but anybody that's in the space, they've seen you on summits, they've seen you on podcasts. And when I mentioned to some people that I was, you were going to be speaking, they were like, oh, I'll be there. I want to hear her. Right. But because I just made that point of getting out there, just getting out there, being on radio shows. And then I created my own blog talk radio show. That's not the forum I would recommend these days, but I would then make the point of looking and reaching out to others who had, you know, whatever followings. And so they would then announce that they were going to be on my show to their followers and that would build my following. Right? But in any case, regardless of how you attract them in, you've got to hook them, right? You've got to get them engaged and wanting what you're offering. And think about some of the talks you've been in where you're sitting on the edge of the seat and going, I don't know what this person sells, but I want it, right? Because we have this idea that, okay, they're going to make an offer for something. I don't know what kind of program this person does, but I hope they do a program. And I remember being in one audience where he was talking about how to get booked on stages and he went through this whole process and he does this and this. I'm like, oh, that sounds so complicated. I'd love to have somebody do it for me. And we do this for this person and we've done that for this person. I'm like, oh, I bet he has a program. I can't wait for him to share what his program is because I'd love to have him do that for me. And he got to the end and he goes, well, here's my website. If you guys need help, just let me know. And I'm like, I was bummed. I was like, he's not going to offer us a program. He was smart. Everybody was thinking the same thing. We're like, we want what he has. So everybody like stormed him, followed him to the back of the room. I'm like, well, how do we work with you? Do you have a program of some sort? And you know, when somebody, remember I said earlier, when they ask you, the ears are wide open. When you just throw it out there, you don't know if their ears are wide open. So he just, then he had this captive audience who loved what he did and wanted it. And all he had to do was say, well, I have this several different things I could do. We could do this way. We could do that way. We can bundle it together. Boy, that guy made lots of money that day, lots of money. And he didn't even make an offer, right? But he hooked us in to what he, the pain of not having this, the pleasure of like, wow, if I could get constant bookings on stages and then I could have my package in the background set up so that it was instant flow. Wow, I want that. It's really cool. So it's a really cool strategy. Think about throughout your whole presentation, how am I going to get this person to want what I have, no matter what it is that I have, without actually telling them what I have? And that's the same thing. Well, that's the curiosity in an email, right? Because they don't know what they're going to find when they click your link, right? If you give them too much information about it, they go, eh, no, I don't want that. I don't want it. You know, they don't click it. But if you just give them a short and sweet and enough, they go, I wonder what that is. I wonder what she, okay, let me go find out. Okay. Yeah, good question. Anybody else? No? Janet, did you share on the Facebook page? Did you share your opt-in? You shared it with me four times, by the way. I'm like, oh, did she rewrite? Oh, it's the same one. But you got it to me, so that's good.
Well, it was the first time I'd shared anything like that before. And then I didn't have the option on there for you to edit. So I finally figured that out. I think the last one had the edit on it so that you could edit.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I've only sent it just to you. I only just finished it. I have agonized over this for weeks. And
then it
started coming together.
Yeah, like I said, a few little tips and tricks that to do it. And we can go over that on, do we have a call tomorrow? I mean, we can pull it up right now if you want.
Didn't know if you did or not. I won't be available tomorrow, but.
Let me find it. Janet, there we are.
Well, I got your attention by multiple sends.
You know, that's the thing. That's the way to get my attention is to repeat it over and over. I can share the screen. Let me do that. And if you don't mind, if you want.
No, that's fine.
See it? Anybody want to see it? Yes? Would it be helpful to see Janet's opt-in? Yeah? Okay. All right. Let me find it. Not it. Here it is. Okay. Can you see it? Oops, that's not it. All right. You see it? Are you writing your grandkids' obituary? So this is where you're going right into education. And you might, let me think. I mean, it's good stuff. One of every five children between the ages of 16 and 16, 19 are obese. Obesity has more than tripled since the 1990s, data from the CDC, because of increasing. What I would recommend is some of the emotion, and I know you had it further down. I might start, are you writing your grandchildren's obesity? I'd want to see. There was one here. I would want to see this childhood obesity as long-term effects before some of the data.
Okay.
See what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like get them emotional, like, oh, yeah. They're at higher risk for asthma, diabetes, bone and joint health. And I would tie it to them. Are you writing your kid's obesity? Your obituary? And then make a point of obesity, because you're talking a lot about obesity, right? Obesity leading to these other problems. Unless you don't want to make obesity the primary thing. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's all talking obesity. So if that's what you want, then the kids, the parent, the grandparents who have normal weight kids or just slightly overweight kids are not going to pay attention. And those kids are just as sick as the obese kids sometimes.
Right.
You can say, you know, I would start with the emotional one about the mortality. There was one about they're dying younger than we are.
Yes, the Surgeon General had written that one. Right here, because of the increased rates of obesity.
Yeah, this is. I would start with that.
Okay.
Unhealthy eating habits and physical activity, because that doesn't focus on. And I would say, are you? That's your subject. Well, this is a. I mean, this is an opt-in, right? So this is the opt-in.
I have other.
That's a good one, right?
That doesn't refer to obesity so much. I didn't realize obesity was in there so many times.
Yeah, it's really focused on obesity. So you want to make it more. Obesity is a contributing factor.
Right.
But this one is, it says, because of the increasing rates of obesity, unhealthy eating habits. And this is what I would do.
Yeah, I was going to say, just change that.
right? Obesity, unhealthy eating habits, and physical inactivity. That's what's more of the general,
right?
We may see the first, and I would say according to, like,
okay,
this guy. Whoops, I left the F there. or former Surgeon General Richard Cameron said, according to, now I'd say, I'd do it this way. You can play with that and see which way you
right.
like. Because of the increasing rates of obesity, unhealthy eating habits, and then you write, are your grandchildren at risk? Because then you're personalizing it.
Okay.
Are they at risk? That's going to be, that's the emotional, like, oh, my grandchildren at risk. Or will you outlive your grandchildren?
Well, I can use both of those terms throughout it.
Yeah. And bringing up the pain of losing a child or grandchild, right?
Okay.
I'll just put some quote, some little appearance.
Okay.
Like that, something like a parent's and grandparent's worst nightmare, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you can go through some statistics. What are you offering here? You're offering a video. Click here.
Well, I'm offering these points. I'm using the, I'm renaming them, you know, with dessert first, nutrition, relax, fun again, and sleep. Those are my points that I'm offering. The clicking here will get them into a video that I tried disastrously to do that I have two of them I'm working on. Then there will also be, I'm going to use the Good, Better, Best redone for kids. And so that as a, maybe a free, a bonus thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course I need to get into what I'm going to offer in programs. Probably something.
Yeah. So you want to offer them one thing,
mm-hmm.
right? If you offer them,
get them to buy a program.
Right, but not here. This is the opt-in, right? So you want to get them to download one thing. Right now it's a little confusing as to what they're going to get.
Okay.
So you're going to do a video, right?
Right. That would have that would show them some, I think I said off-the-shelf good things to eat. I would have some of those to show the good, show the ingredients.
On the video, we'll cover.
Okay.
Okay. So I would move this. Wait, whoops. We go like something like this. And this is not the exact order, but click here to.
Okay.
Where you'll learn. Or which includes, let me think. So these are, what are these? Is this what you're going to cover in the video or is this a booklet that they're going to get with the video?
These are ideas in my head that I all put on paper. So these are things that I would be offering in with more detail under each one of them and further information. Not necessarily in a program for them to learn about diabetes.
Yeah, so it would be like the five, what would be there? Five, one, two, three, four, yeah, five fun things you can.
So is that what I'm going to put what's in the video?
And do with your kids.
Click here to watch my video and you'll learn how to break all the rules in my 5-point program or my 5-point interest or something.
Yeah.
That's all we did. We broke all the rules. We did everything that we wanted to. Why stop? So I'm going for the grandparents and their language.
Yeah.
To get them to get to their kids.
And I like these phrases, right? I'm just trying to think of how to best flow into it. Right? So I would first put a call to action right here. That would be your first call to action. Like download my... five strategies to creating healthy grandchildren, or five fun things you can do with your grandchildren to enhance their health and longevity. Something along those lines.
Right. I'm sticking with breaking the rules, because breaking the rule is breaking the rule of what we are practicing today in the standard American diet. That's the rule I'm breaking. It's the standard American diet.
Okay. All right, so you've got, let me just look, 1 out of 5 children. Much of the increase in mortality can be explained by obesity. I would get more into diabetes. Not so much focusing on obesity, obesity can one, but I would look at the soaring rates of childhood diabetes. The soaring rates of childhood, of kids having rheumatoid arthritis, the diseases that kids are getting that we didn't see much in our era.
Okay.
Like, we didn't have friends who had diabetic. I mean, there may have been one or two, but it wasn't all over the place, right? Diabetes affects this, or obesity affects this many people, right? 1 out of 5 children.
Okay.
And okay. We're crippled since the 1980s. But I would put something else in more, because it's much more than just obesity. Right, diabetes impacts XYZ. So I would add stats. Those sorts of things, the kinds of things that could be life threatening, right?
Right. Right.
Right. And then you can say much of the increase can be explained by obesity. But I would also say, but not all. Even slim kids are. Even.
Okay. Well.
You want to make the case for why they want to change some, the dangers of some of these things. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? You don't want to turn them away, because, if you were just working on obesity, then great. You just want to, but you don't. You want to look at all of the things, and the kids that are going, well, my kid's perfectly fine. Even athletes.
Oh, yes. Athletes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And the energy drinks and all of that stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay. But I would figure out a call to action here. Like your first call to action, just to get them to go and download it, because you don't have all the information. You go, watch my video to learn more. Watch my free video to learn more right here.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
And then you go into the details. Now you're rubbing it in, right? You got some of them, you just got them by the hook. They want to watch they want to watch it, right? Are your grandkids at risk? Are you going to outlive your grandkids? That's the worst nightmare. Watch my free video to learn not more, but like how to prevent, how to create healthy grandkids, how to help your grandkids. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you, learn how to break those rules. Learn how to break those 20th century eating rules or patterns
My free video to learn how to break the rules and keep your grandkids safe. How's that?
Right.
Because that creates curiosity, break the rules and keep my grandkids safe. Oh, okay. I wonder what that is.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Again, you want to keep the curiosity and that you did a great job, but you want to keep them hooked and you want to aggravate it. You know, you want to get them more and more like, yeah, whatever she has, I want it. Right? And then you're going to get that right at the top. Some of them are not convinced, so you give them some stats.
Okay.
Right? So you give them more stats. Figure out which ones. Don't be, you know, dunked on that. So I would just kind of rewrite these a little bit to be more encompassing of the things. Think about the kid, the things that these kids are suffering from, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And then do that. And not too long. And then this one, we, the baby boomers, can stop this one grandchild at a time. I love that one. After all, we broke all the rules. Then let's not stop now. Will people understand what that means?
No, that's just a thought in my head that got typed it with my fingers.
Well, the baby boomers are the 60s generation, right? Like we broke all the rules back in the 60s.
Right, but this is going to hit, one of my daughters glanced at it briefly and just sent me a text, and she said, this is going to cover more than grandparents. This is going to hit us with our children as mm-hmm. well. So she said, don't be too limiting unless you want to target and then retarget with parents as well. So I have to back out of some of it maybe.
Well, it depends on what you want to do. If you just want to work with the baby boomers, because it's going to be slightly different, right? And when you try to make the language too generic to approach and be appreciated by two different groups, mm-hmm. you weaken it.
That's true.
Right? That's true. So you could do this towards, I mean, I would keep the grandkids in mind. Then write another one for the parents.
Yes.
Right? Because the parents are the primary caretakers most of the time. They have the kids 24/7. Right? You're going to approach that a little differently than how do you, as the grandparents, contribute to this when they're there? How do you make it fun for these kids to take back happy, healthy habits?
Oh, ARP had a whole thing on that. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you then get the grandkids to educate their parents so that you can help the parents to do a better, you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of really good stuff you could be doing for grandchildren. Yeah, Mihaela?
So just to encourage you on that one, so for example, I have my kids on gluten-free, sugar-free diet, and I cannot get my mom to cooperate. So then I'm talking to my kids, and I told them, look, every time you have gluten, your belly hurts. Every time you eat sugar, your belly hurts, your bones hurt, you know. So now what they're doing, they're going to my mom, and when my mom wants to give them gluten, they're like, oh, we are not eating gluten. Thank you. We don't do that. And so so now my mom cooks more and more and more gluten-free, sugar-free, because now the kids are telling her. When I was telling her, she was like, whatever, you know. When the kids are telling her, well, we don't want to eat that because it's gluten, now she does it. So
Right. And it could go the other way around, right? They go to visit their grandparents, and they go back and they say, no, mom, you know, grandma and grandpa said, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I don't want that.
Yeah. I remember my nephew and my niece, every time they would eat something, they'll be like, is this healthy for me? You mentioned something that this is not healthy. And they would turn around, and they were little. They were 5, 6.
Yeah.
Like, is this good for me? And I'm like, yeah or no or whatever.
And yeah.
So I think that
I used to do it with my nieces. I would brainwash the nieces and, you know, and getting the parents to buy fruits and veggies because, you know, I'm like, no, let's go to the store. Let's go get, and they'd let them buy whatever fruits and veggies. We'd come home with $50, $60 worth of fruit and veggies that they'd never had before. And they would love it. And mom would say, oh, don't spoil your dinner. And I'd go, spoil your dinner. This is healthier than dinner. You know, I just like whisper to them, no, this is healthier than dinner. Let's spoil your dinner. Fill up on this stuff. Then you won't have room for the stuff that's not good for you. So I educated them. I educated them. And that's what your parents, your grandparents can do with their kids. Yeah. Especially if they make it fun with all the little fun activities.
Yeah. Great point. I remember taking my grandkids to the grocery store and we bought purple potatoes and green cauliflower and things they didn't know. And they were so excited to see mom and dad come to dinner because there was purple mashed potatoes.
Oh, and how fun.
And they got on the internet and they found out where they came from and what area and how long ago and what the natural developed. They had all kinds of things.
It's amazing. I think we underestimate the intelligence of little kids. Because I started educating my 24-year-old, just turned 24, but I started educating him before he was even a year old. And I'd explain, like, if he saw somebody eating something, why we don't eat that. Or he saw something on a TV or whatever, why we don't eat that. And I explained to him about cow's milk and dairy and sugar and all this stuff when he was just very little. And he very easily, like we'd go out to grandma. He wouldn't let grandma give him any bad food. And I mean, grandma knew she was not allowed to and under, she would get very badly chastised if she did. So she wouldn't give them anything. She'd check. But even like when we went to a restaurant one time, it was an Indian restaurant. We had this great, you know, Indian meal, lots of veggies. And the waiter just thought my son was so cute. And he was under two and he came in and he brought him, some mango ice cream. And we used to make it in the champion juicer. So it looked just like what we made at home. And my son was like, oh, mango ice cream. And he picked it up and he started eating it. And I'm like, honey, do you know what's in that? He goes, mango. I'm like, yeah, do you know what else is in there? No, what else is in there? I said, sugar and cow's milk. And he went, pushed it away. I'm not eating that. And then my husband picked it up and went to taste it. He goes, Dad, don't eat that. Great. Right. They learn and he used to do that in the grocery store. He'd look at people's carts. He literally, this one time we're sitting and he's looking out at the next person's cart and he looked in her cart and he goes, lady, you shouldn't eat that stuff. And she was like, what? What stuff? What shouldn't I eat? He looked and he goes, all of it. Oh, come on. Isn't there something good in my cart? Look, I have apple juice. He goes, nope, that's bottled and pasteurized. She's like, who are you? Can you be my nutritionist? You know? Then he said, no, but my mommy can. But yeah, they learn. And we think that we have to dumb it down for them, right? My mother-in-law would say that all the time. My son would say, what's that? And I'd explain it to him in fairly adult language. And she'd say, what are you saying that to him? He's like, he's a baby. He doesn't understand it. I said, yes, he does. And he did. He would understand it. And if he didn't, he'd say, what does that word mean? And then I teach him a new word. Right? So I think this grandparent coming to grandma's and having that, my kids would have loved that, of course, right? Having grandma and grandpa do all these fun activities with them. But I think it's great.
So in this lead-in page is my purpose to get them to get to the video to sign up for a program or just to find out more information.
Okay. Where am I? So this is what's called a lead gen, right? You're going to build your list. Initially, you may not have a program. All you're going to do is offer them this free thing. So right here, when I say call to action, they need to give you your name, their name and email address. You collect that and then you take them to the next page, which shows the video and maybe has a downloadable cheat sheet, right, for them.
Okay.
Now, the ideal, the next piece of that funnel would be that on that page, if you had a program, you'd say, you know, this is just the first steps. You can now get access to my 5-week program where I'll teach you exactly what to do and we'll go in the kitchen with you and we'll do these activities with you, right? Okay. $297. You could do it that way. Right now, all we're focusing on is getting them into your list. Because once you have a program, say you've sent this out and you get 100 people to sign up for this, then you put your program together, you're going to email these people. And that's what the next piece is once you collect their names is a nurture sequence. you send out a series of emails that says, hey, I'm so glad you downloaded my video. I hope you got a lot out of it. You can create engagement in that. Like, what was the top takeaway for you? Just reply back. You can create conversation with people to create that, connection. And then maybe in 2 weeks, 3 months, whatever, you write to them regularly, like even once a week, once every other week, to just give them another tip. Hey, remember the video and remember the download? I just learned this new recipe on X. I'd like to share it with you. Then when you're ready to offer something paid, they already love you. They're like, ah, she's so sweet. She just gives me all this stuff. I've learned so much. I've started to do it. Oh, now she's doing a 5-week program and she's going to take me in her kitchen and show me how to make all this stuff. And she's going to share with me how to keep my kids, grandkids safe from EMFs and whatever it is you're going to do. Right.
Okay.
So this is the first thing. I know somebody who he just decided he was going to build a list. He created a free opt-in. Sign up here and I'll send you a new recipe once a week. And he got all these people signed up and he knew they were interested in vegan eating, right? And he was working another job at the time and he just did this and he collected names. He ended up with like 50,000 names or 30,000 names over the course of 3 years. And then he decided to create a course on educating them about the food and about how to be healthy as a vegetarian, about what nutrients and what foods and how to combine them and what to stay away from and what to eat. And he sold it for like a couple $100. And he got a ton of people to sign up for it. Now it's a, you know, multi-six-figure business that he's created from it.
So if I build this list, would the 5 points that I already put in here be the things I want to offer them in detail further down the road? Do I want to put those headers in at first? These, do I just want to barely mention them?
Well, you can mention them and you can give them a tip in each one. Or you can give them a tip in one of them, right? You can start with dessert first because that's going to get most appeal, right? Learn
right.
How to make healthy foods with the kids. Give them like what Elisa Sasevich calls it, a deep dive.
You My do video is on
one of those, right? And which one's your video on?
My video is on the dessert, the healthy food off the shelf and a dessert.
Okay, so what you can do here is you can say, that's just one of my 5 strategies. My other 5 strategies are these.
Okay.
And watch your inbox and I'll talk to you about how to start to move the needle in the other direction, in the direction with those.
So when they click, they will see these listed or they'll just see the video and these are already listed.
Here's what I would do. I would, because people like something tangible that they could download. So you can make a document that talks about dessert first and gives them a picture from the video and then says, this is just 1 of 5.
Okay.
Right? Stay tuned. Watch your inbox. I'll be sharing some tips over the next coming months about some other ways you can go deeper with this.
Okay.
And if you want to take them on as clients before you even have a program, if you want to do one-on-one coaching with people, you can say, click here to schedule a strategy session and we can talk about how I can personally help you to put these strategies into place with your grandkids.
And that would be at the end on the document when you did that.
I would do it in the document, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you could certainly do it in the video. And you could just say, stay tuned for more resources. I'm really excited to share this. It's made such a difference for me, really personalized, watching, you know, my grandchildren do this and watching my kids do that. And this is just 1 of 5. I love these others. And I'll be sharing these over time. And if you want to jumpstart and have a conversation about how I can help you put this into practice in your own life. And you might even put in there something like, especially if you have a child or grandchild who already has one of these diagnosed conditions and you want to know how to really support your child in helping your grandchild.
Okay.
You know, something like that. Right.
Okay. Lots of ideas.
Lots of ideas. So I would be sending them to your, I would say, watch my video and download this checklist.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, play around with it. This is a great start. And I love the little titles of the points. They're very good. This would be perfect for modules in a program.
I want to thank Annette and Lynn, because I have been bugging them with little, where is this and how do you do, can you send me that? Because it wasn't really what they had written. I needed support to push me to keep, because I had it, but I couldn't get it on paper. So mm-hmm. I really appreciate awesome. The support from both of you.
Awesome.
I'm sorry I burned up your email and your phone.
Well, and that's the point of, you know, when you join a group like this, right? It's not just the support you get from me. It's the support that we all provide to each other that's valuable as well. It's not just me. You came up with some amazing stuff for languaging for Mihaela and for Allie. You know, it wasn't Allie, it was Annette last time. You came up with some great stuff. So, yeah, we all support each other.
I
appreciate it. Shared mission, right?
Thank you.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. So when we share with you the doc, the Google Docs, if we make adjustments, do you see the adjustments or do we have to resend it to you?
No, you just, if you wanted me to look at it and say, hey, you just send me a separate email and say, hey, I updated this document okay. and give me the link again so I don't have to go okay. fishing through my inbox. But yeah, no, it all changes. If Janet goes into her file, she'll see that these changes are all there, right?
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, they're all there.
Ask that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If she was in there at the same time as me, then she'd actually see me making the changes. I've had that happen, right? I have somebody on my team who edits the things, takes out the typos. And sometimes I'll go in there and I'll be finishing it up and I'd already told her when I'm done, I'll let you know. And she goes in and I'm watching her because it'll say her name. And the document will be changing. So it's really a nice system.
So how do I know you've been there? Like if you got a chance to look at mine, how do I see that other
one
than
of the things I can do, I'll show you, is if you want me to not make the changes like in line.
Oh, I don't mind if you make all the changes because.
Okay. But I could do this. I could say add a comment. I'll show you what I'll do. Okay. And I can say, what's your email address, Janet? What's your email?
It's Janet Marie, the letter B, the number 5, @gmail.com.
No, it's not in there, but I think this will send it. If I just say at Janet Marie, 5?
B, the letter B, 5.
@gmail.
Janet Marie Books, 5 grandchildren, gmail.com.
Got it. Okay, Janet. Okay. So I could do this and I could say at with the person's email address and then say, hey, Janet, great job. I made a few edits. And then I say assign. Now she should get an email. Yep, there it is. You see a picture?
Yeah. Right?
So she should get an email that says this in it. Hey, Janet, great job. I made a few edits. Right. Okay. And if you've done it, you can do the same thing with me and you can say, and do it to RitaMarie@drRitaMarie.com because it's hooked into my other. If you send it to the Gmail account, I never see it.
Yeah, I think I sent it to the new email. I think on the last call you confirmed you got it. So I think you can have it.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Okay.
Okay. Perfect. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, you should get an email on that and you'll see my changes and all that. I'm not very good at, like, I don't have the patience for, like, highlighting and saying I changed this or that. So if it's okay for me to do that, otherwise I do all the changes in the comments.
That's perfect for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Writing is my weakest point, so I'll take anything.
Okay. Okay, good. I think that's it. So we've almost reached our time. So yeah. Any other questions before we close? Was this helpful, Annette? Yeah?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Thanks for helping, Janet.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, you guys have a great rest of the day. Allie, was this helpful? Because I know you've learned a lot of this stuff before. And But more, the more you learn it, the more you hear it, the more you know it, right? And it becomes second nature. So I was putting this together. I was realizing how much I've changed over the last years and how much I've learned and grown. And that doesn't mean I'm like a top-notch copywriter. It just means that I'm better than I was before and I'm effective and I can get more effective. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great one.
To England.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. And I'll get to see Allie too. Yay.
Yeah. See you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.